Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. And I am so happy to be here again. Once again, another fabulous radio show for everybody out there in Radio Showland. I'm so excited tonight, especially because I have someone on tonight that I had on as one of my very first special guests, and it was years ago, and I was thinking before I even got online tonight into the studio to do it, I have to go back into my archives and start putting the dates. I know I have them in my calendar somewhere, but anyway, without further ado, I just want to introduce, this is the second time around for us, and I'm trying to think if there's anyone else I've interviewed twice. I'm thinking, there's only one other person, and that was, I interviewed Vinny Lopez twice, because I interviewed Vinny way back when, because he's one of my very close friends, then I interviewed him when he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But without further ado, tonight, our very special guest is Mr. Ed Johnson, former mayor of Asbury Park, New Jersey. Hello, Ed.
Good afternoon, and to you and to all your listeners, greetings from Asbury Park.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm greetings very excited from Asbury to be on Park. Tonight. I'm very excited to be on, and in good company with Vinny Lopez, so, you know, that's great.
Yeah, well, Vinny was going to interview me, but then in January, a lot happened, and I was with Hamilton Radio for, oh my gosh, well over 2.5 years, and then the driving in the winter became difficult. So I have my own studio, so this is like my own, I've been doing my own thing now for about 4 months, I guess. And it's just gone wild because everyone's calling me now. You know, Willie Nile, he's sending me messages, interview me Wednesday, I'm leaving for Spain on Saturday. I'm like, oh my God, and 1 month I did 4 shows. I can't do it. It's too much. But I want to talk about you, Ed, because I remember meeting you. It was a very special day because it was the day that the president came to town.
Oh, that was a fantastic day.
Yeah, and I missed getting up to the boardwalk by maybe 5 minutes. They said, we're so sorry. I was with my friend, and they wouldn't let us up to the boardwalk. So we had to wait until the president, you know, everything was over, and then we got on the boardwalk. But it was great because I did get to I talked to Governor Christie, and he loved it because we talked about Bruce Springsteen. And I gave him a copy of my CD that very day. And then I got a message from his assistant that he loved it. And then I met you about like 5 or 8 minutes after I was talking to the mayor. They're saying to the mayor, to the governor, Governor Christie, we have to go now. And he's going, just a minute now. I'm talking to Nancy. And Nancy grew up in Asbury Park. And Nancy knows Bruce Springsteen. It was so funny.
Okay.
But Ed, and then I saw you, and I came over to you, I remember, and I said, Ed, I have to talk to you too. And that's how we became friends. And you traveled all the way to Trenton, and I thank you for that.
Well, it was great to come to visit you. And I, you know, thinking back to that day, that was just a fantastic day. And after everything we had gone through the months before with Sandy, recovering and rebuilding our town and putting the boardwalk up and running again, that was really a great time in Asbury Park. It's always exciting to meet the president. I had the opportunity to meet President Reagan at the White House back in the 80s, and I had to have President Obama in our own hometown on our boardwalk. Whomever the president is, it's always a very exciting moment to meet the president.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it was on my list of things that I had to do. And I can't believe that, like, that it was so crowded and so busy. And by the time we walked up, I mean, 5 minutes, and I said, oh, please, 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 but I have to. I have a radio show. I've got to be up there. I showed them my card. They just would not. The security was so tight that they didn't. They said, look, we're sorry, but, you know, we're sorry you have a radio show. We'd love to let you through, but the word is out, and there's not one more person that's going to be allowed to go through. So, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but it was still wonderful. You know, I mean, we could see up to the boardwalk. We just couldn't get there. We were right, you know, behind the, at the park there, behind the park, and right in front of Convention Hall. So we could see, you know, actually up there. But
well, once they lock down that area, once they lock down that area, you're just in this airtight bubble. And I have to tell you, one of my most memorable moments from that day was I was standing inside Convention Hall with Congressman Pallone and some other dignitaries when the president's limousine drove in to Convention Hall and drove up to him. And once they secured him, they opened up the door. And I have to tell you, Nancy, I have seen tanks, I've seen battleships, I've seen, you know, 747 aircraft, Apache attack helicopters. I have never seen an armored vehicle like that before in my life.
And
when you opened the door and stepped out and looked directly at us, you know, not too many things unnerved me, but when he looked directly at us, you could feel all of our knees just sort of, you know, buckle a little bit. But it was very exciting.
You are giving me goosebumps, and all of the hair on my arms, I swear, God save me and save the Queen. My hair is standing up on my on the end of my arms. I mean, that just describing that to me just made me so excited. And I just too would have been like, I probably would have fainted. But
and you know, you try to play it cool as best you can.
Of course.
That was.
Yeah,
that
but
I do know
Frank Pallone, and I do. Well, he's right over here in Long Branch, and I've been to his office a few times, and he's very nice. And I had also met him. Oh, why not? It was a big deal. It was a thing for. It was a big benefit, and so he was there for a benefit at Bar A in Belmar. That's okay to say. It was a benefit. He needed to be there.
Yes.
But I did meet him, and I met so many people. And I want to talk mainly about you, but I just do want to have a real quick quickie. I lived for about 8 months with President Eisenhower's secretary. And at the time, I was living in California, and she was a Jehovah's Witness, and she used to always show up at my door, and I didn't know why. And then I ended up living with her for a while. She had this big old house, and she actually had President Eisenhower was like a fantastic, wonderful painter, and she had paintings that he had given to her with the presidential seal on it and signed by him. So that's probably as close as to the any president that I've ever really been. But that's like a really and now I wish at that time they didn't really have cell phones and cameras, and I never even thought of taking a picture of one of the, you know, just for posterity.
Yeah, of course,
but I didn't. But I'm so impressed with everything that I, of course, read about you and all that you've done in Asbury Park, and it's really great. And I want to give out a shout out to, of course, when I know that you're so involved with Rutgers, and I know you must be friends with Calvin Schwartz, Cal Schwartz.
Yeah.
You know him, right?
Yes.
Or maybe you
yes,
don't.
Yes, I do.
Calvin. We'll give Calvin a shout out because he, of course, is totally in love with Rutgers, and he's always up in Rutgers, and he's with New Jersey Discover TV. He and Tara are my friends, but I think
very,
I told you, I grew up in Asbury Park.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
And you can definitely tell. You can tell people who have grown up in Asbury, you know it. So, and you definitely are an Asbury. An Asbury girl, definitely.
Yeah, I call myself a redheaded, hard-headed Irish Catholic from Asbury Park, New Jersey. And then I go deal with it. but anyway, you know, I was singing in the Convention Hall, which was such I just loved it because I was a troubadour. But I sang in Convention Hall for two summers in a row before Sandy happened. And then when Sandy happened, I couldn't do it anymore. But I do have a page that has all pictures of Inside the Fabulous Grand Arcade. Now it's been called Inside and Outside the Fabulous Grand Arcade. So I'm a huge promoter of Asbury Park and of all of the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
But please tell me, like, you know, what you've been doing now, because it's been years since you retired and since you were on my show. So
yes,
tell me.
I retired.
Tell us all.
I retired in June 2013. So June 30th was my last day, the end of my term. And, you know, I really took some time just to rest and to, just refocus myself, because I'd been involved in Asbury Park for over 15 years. I started in Asbury Park City Government in 1998 as UEZ chairman, and then I served three terms on the city council, and my final term as mayor. And you know the story of Asbury Park, and you know where Asbury Park was in 1998. And, for instance, my sister and brother-in-law are visiting from Ohio, and we were just up on the boardwalk last night having dinner.
Oh, how nice.
It was a cloudy, kind of drizzly night. But
it was
just packed, the restaurants, and there were people mulling around and playing golf, and it is really a completely different world than it was. And I'm very much still, I feel like the proud papa of that. And then I went back into the classroom, and I've been teaching political science at Rutgers, and I am very excited to announce that I'll be joining the adjunct faculty at Monmouth University this fall, teaching political science there as well.
Wonderful.
So that's very exciting.
Oh, absolutely, it is. Definitely. This is just such a laid-back show and everything, and I have to say that my mom was one of the oldest alumni that graduated from Monmouth University after having, you know, raising seven children, and she went back to college in her, I don't know, maybe she was late 50s, and then she got her master's degree, and she was going for her graduate degree. I mean,
oh, wow.
She was, like, incredible, this my mother, and straight A's, and she was tutoring children that had disabilities, and she just she's in the Monmouth University book, and they had a huge article about her, you know, grandmother of so many and 26 great grandchildren, and she was really something. She passed away. That's, in fact, I have to tell you, I was away from Asbury for a while. I left Asbury in my early 30s and went to San Diego, straight one-way ticket. And I lived there for 28 years, right on the coast, right outside. Are you there?
Yes, and that's...
Oh, good, because
San Diego's
I don't know why
place.
My computer's doing weird things. It says it's logging off, and this will really be bad. It's configuring updates in the middle of my show. It better not. Well, maybe it will just do that, and we'll be on. This has never happened before. So I will just assume that everything's going to be fine. It's just that my studio kind of, I can't see my studio anymore. So, but we're okay. You're still there, right?
Yep, we're still here.
That's what's so interesting about this. You know, live radio, live talk radio, it's like all kinds of things can happen. But what I was talking about, I'm very excited for you to be with Monmouth University, because I think it's like one of the best universities in the world.
It really is. It's a great place. It's a great environment. And it's right here in our community. So it's going to be very exciting for me to join the faculty there. And, you know, I'm a political scientist by trade. I have a bachelor's and master's in my degree in political science. And for years, my father's favorite question was, so what are you going to do with that? And
right.
So when I was sworn in as mayor, I actually had him change my nameplate from councilman to mayor. And I leaned over into his ear and I said, any questions?
Oh, wow. That
was
Isn't that
moment.
Something?
Yeah. And to,
that
and to
is
be teaching
something.
Now, and to be teaching now back in the classroom is going to be really great.
Oh, yeah, I'm so happy for you. I really am. I just think that's so thrilling, really thrilling. It got me by surprise, my computer doing these things. I've been doing this for 3 years now, but still it's almost like when I perform too, you get those little butterflies and you just want everything to work out well. But everything so far looks good. I've never had that kind of an interruption where it says configuring and takes you right out of your own studio. It's like, hello, this is my show already. But oh, the question I usually ask, and you almost kind of like let me know already by what you just told me about your dad. I usually just ask now, because I only do a half an hour instead of an hour show, is who influenced you the most while you were growing up and why? And so since you mentioned your dad, I'm feeling that maybe he was a really huge influence on you.
Oh, absolutely.
Kind of
my
pushing
dad
you
was.
Around. Not pushing you around. Not that was the wrong word. Pushing you like, no. You know, where, what are you going to do now?
Well, our family, my family was very big on education. My grandparents and both my parents. My parents are the first college-educated members of our family. Education was very important, and they really pushed us. And the best part was they never really pushed us into what they thought we should be doing. They pushed us into our dreams.
And, that's great.
You know, my brother is a lawyer in Paris. My sister is a PhD or a doctor of geography at Bowling Green. So we have all found our niches and have just been able to excel. And I think that's very important. As I work with young people, being back in the classroom, I always emphasize that they need to find your dream and follow that dream.
Exactly.
You'd be surprised where it leads you.
Right. You're very blessed to have that, because I found that in my family, my father and mother both felt that education was very important, and they sent us all to parochial schools for that reason. But I think my dad had, this is a funny story, a little bit of an ulterior motive. He thought, if I send all of my children to parochial school and take really good care of them and feed them really well, take care of them, I will go to heaven. Because my father never went to church, and we were Roman Catholic, and my mother went to church every single Sunday until she couldn't any longer, and she was a singer, and that's where I get my singing from, and she was singing in the choir. My mother was very much into education, as you know, since finally, after even raising all those children, and to boot having her own tailor business all that time. My mother was a fantastic tailor. I call her a tailor because she would make handmade, like she would make wedding dresses. Well, she had a sewing machine from Italy, but she would do all the hand sewing with the lace, you know, on the hems. And anyway, getting off of that topic. However, my father was, he was the superintendent of, after building both for 13 years, superintendent of the Carroll Construction Company. So you know how involved I am with Asbury Park. You know, my father built Parkview, Seaview Terrace, and, you know, a lot of other things, you know, in Asbury. My father refurbished the Berkeley Carteret practically single-handedly himself. So my dad was really an awesome man. Unfortunately, he passed away way too young. But getting back to you, Ed, I'm so excited, and I love hearing about your brother and your sister. And what I was saying, I got away from it, is that my brother Billy, of course, he's a musician, and my mother's a singer, and she used to sing on the radio. We all became like kind of, there's so many musicians in my family, and so many. I mean, almost every single one of us is an entertainer of some sort. But he was not wanting my oldest, his first son, to do that, because he just felt it's like, you know, there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to, you know, make money and have a family. So in those days, because I'm 68 now, so my brother's 70. So way back then, I suspect you're a bit younger than I am. So back then, and especially with the generation that came from the really hard times, like my father was a self-made man. He didn't even graduate from high school. My father quit high school when he was a sophomore and started building boats. But anyway, that's my story. But I loved growing up in Asbury Park, and I went to Asbury Park High School for 1 year. But there was nothing like it. My memories of Asbury Park and the way it was. And now seeing it come back, it just it makes me so happy.
That's the best part right now, is that, you know, everyone has an Asbury Park story. And the best part right now is the opportunity to make a new Asbury Park story. Mm-hmm. And you can come to Asbury Park. You can remember and cherish the way it was. But then you can always make new memories. The best advice my grandmother ever gave me is that she said that, you know what, there's really no such thing as the good old days. She said the good old days are today. And you can spend all your time thinking about what was, or you can create new memories. And you can create the new good old days. And so, you know, the way Asbury Park is now, it is just – you know, this wintertime in February, just to, as an example of just how strong this redevelopment and economic growth was, in the middle of February, in the middle of this past winter, in the middle of snow all over the place, we had three new restaurants open up to lines around the block every single night.
That's great. That is so fabulous.
And, you know, for that to happen in the middle of the winter is really something, you know, for this.
Yes, it is. It certainly is. And I love what's happening with, you know, Asbury Underground and what's happening with all of the Cookman Avenue, all of the stores, and the melding of the music with the, you know, the melding of the music with the art and all that. And I've been to where music lives. And actually, my friend Carrie Potter was here recently, and I visited with her. You know, her grandfather, you know, was the upstage man, and that was wonderful. And of course, like being a little kid growing up and, you know, going on your first date in Asbury when you're like 12 years old or 13 to play miniature golf, those are some memories. They'll never fade away. And, you know, ice skating it. But I loved what you said about that because, you know, there's that saying about, well, yesterday is gone, right? Tomorrow's not here yet. So today really is all that we do have. And it is true. I think many people do get stuck, including myself, I think, for years. Or sometimes I do get stuck in the memories of the old time. And I think, no, move forward. And that's what I've been doing since my mother passed away. I've done so much. You know, I created my album. I produced my album. I'm doing my radio show for 3 years. Three years. I mean, I have interviewed so many people, and I'm looking forward to doing so many more. I mean, it's just it's unbelievable, you know.
And you know, going back to what I was saying about my parents pushing us to find our dreams, it is just so evident that you are living your dream, because you're involved, your album and this show, and just the spark that you bring to Asbury Park.
You can just feel
this is what you do.
The enthusiasm.
And you do very well. So
thank you so much.
I'm very pleased to be on with you tonight and to be an acquaintance with you just every day.
Well, thank you. I always say that. I say, like, and it's all for free and for fun because I'm giving back. People will say to me, Nancy, you have so many people wanting to be on your show. Why don't you charge? Why don't you start charging for your promotion? You know, like I spend like hours and hours and hours promoting a show, and afterwards I spend more hours promoting the show and putting it everywhere, putting the, you know, our talk right now. It's going to be everywhere. Mm-hmm. It'll go on all my friends' web pages, right on their timelines in Italy, Peru, Brazil, all over the world, all my radio stations that play my music, everywhere. And you know how exciting that is for me to be able to do that for someone else, because the way I feel, I was so blessed to grow up where I did. I was so blessed. You know, my father had a boat. I'm so blessed to be able to go into Asbury every day and have the casino and ice skate, go on the merry-go-round, do all that. I mean, everybody didn't have that, and I have it. Yeah. So it's my giving back time, and I am. I'm having the time of my life. I really am. It's a blessing.
And just so people know, you know, what you do, you know, what I did in Asbury Park and what other people do every single day to, you know, doing exactly what you're talking about, while, you know, it's our passion and it looks like we're having fun, it's a lot of hard work.
So I just want people
to appreciate everything, all the hard work that you put into doing this
for us.
And, you know, here in town, I know that there's a lot of hardworking people that have made Asbury Park and are keeping Asbury Park moving forward. And it may look like fun. It only looks like fun because it's our passion. But it really is a lot of dedication, a lot of hard work.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember in the summers and in the 95-degree weather, singing in Convention Hall, I remember it very well. But I loved it, especially. And if you went to the page and saw me with a little girl who's just learned how to walk, and she's over, and I stoop down and I start singing to them, and they, you know, get shy and get behind their parent, and then they come out, and then I let them, you know, they're playing the guitar. I mean, if you go on that page inside and outside, I just changed it, inside and outside. the fabulous Grand and Arcade, because now I'm doing outside things. And, you know, I did that for several years, and they say, yeah, I can still do it. Madison Marquette, or a big promoter of mine, and say, Nancy, you can go and sing in a convention hall anytime you want. But now they've got bands inside the first Saturday. I was doing it the first Saturday of the month. But you've done so much, and I was so impressed with all of the things that you've been doing, you know, for the community. It's just, it's awesome.
And there's two other things. There's two other things I really wanted to talk about tonight. I have a new project. It's called Classic Politics, which really focuses on creating dialogue and just positive discourse among the community with regard to the study of politics in the classroom and also out in the community. And I'm focusing on a film series this fall. It's on the first Saturdays of October, November and December. It's called Lights, Camera, Politics film series. And
oh, wow.
We're gonna
feature
three films at the Stephen Crane House.
Wow, that is great.
They're really going to be films that discover the social conscience and talk about, you know, Aristotle's famous proclamation that by nature man is a political animal. And then there's another project coming up, which hopefully we're going to make an announcement in September. We're going to have a couple people mad at me, but I got to say it. It involves Cuba. And we have a project that we're going to make an announcement, hopefully come just after Labor Day, but it's going to involve the Jersey Shore and Cuba. So we're very excited about that, and we're working very hard. So that's my teaser to,
to
get
you know what
to,
I like
to pay attention.
I can't say too much. I try not to talk about things that I don't know anything about. So I don't know that much. I have heard some things about Cuba, but I can't really discuss it. So I don't. I'm not really a real political person or religious. And it's good because of the business that I'm in. I always say, no, I'm sorry. I'm not going to discuss politics or religion. Even though I love, like, I'll be on a one-on-one. I'll talk to people till doomsday about how I really feel, but publicly I don't. I certainly don't want to cause controversy. But I like this what you said. Integrity, people, and passions in a positive way. That's almost like such a fabulous short mission statement for me. Like I really like that, and I do try to pass on my enthusiasm to everyone, because I am a real enthusiastic person, and I am a very passionate, emotional person as well as being an artist. And I'm going to be singing. I was asked to sing at the Saint the 22nd, so I'll put that out there.
Great.
It's early. Yes, and it's going
to
be great. The Lips. It's going to be Mark and Joan Lipman, and they do comedy rock.
Love them.
Oh, it's going to be the most phenomenal show, and they chose 10 people, artists, to sing. And I'm not a gigging artist, as you well know, but people do ask me to sing with them, so I do that quite a bit. And I'll do, like, a cover. I'll do, you know, Blue Suede Shoes, Elvis, because I'm a country rockabilly singer. But so I wanted to give that a plug. It's going to be, I think, the 22nd, a Saturday night, the 22nd, at the Saints, so check it out. But I'll be producing it worldwide anyway, so not that they can come, but they can, you know, maybe see it on YouTube. We can talk a little longer. It's going to be great. It's going to be packed, though. That's what I'm afraid of, because it's so small, and they set it up like a theater, so they have all the chairs there. So you're actually going, and you feel like you're at a play or at a ballet or something like that. You're at a real show, you know, and people aren't just standing around and talking and drinking or anything like that. You're really focused on the stage, and they even have a curtain now. They put a curtain up about 6 months ago, and so the Saint is a great place, and I was so thrilled when they asked me to participate. So I'll be singing a few songs, three songs maybe, and what else? I can hear it when they tell me 60 seconds, but it's okay because we're going to go over a little bit. And they're so nice to me in my own studio. They let me go on, and then, you know, instead of just 30 minutes, they'll give me, like, sometimes 35, 40 minutes. They never cut me off. Thank you so much to my radio people out in Radio Land that are, you know, doing my podcasts. I love it. I love not having to drive an hour in the snow. And so I'm getting to interview, you know, everybody's calling me now from New York, you know. I introduced, you know, Willie Nile and all of the, you know, James Maddock and all these people that live in New York. They don't want to drive, you know, 2 hours to Trenton. So people are, and besides, I'm branching out myself, and I'll say that. I'll be interviewing people in the UK and, you know, all over the world.
Oh, wow.
That's coming. That's coming in probably, let's see, well, probably I'm going to start in September. Probably in September. I will be actually I'm promoting the show, the 9/11 show, that my friend Michelle Moore, who came to Trenton, who sings Rocky Ground with Bruce. I interviewed her. I'm not even sure when it was, but I'll be promoting the 9/11 show at the Stone Pony, and my friend Bob Polding will be. I will be interviewing him on my show. I've been wanting to interview him for a long time, and he called me up on stage to sing with him. The last time he was at the Pony, and I'm like, wow, I was like so ecstatic. He goes, Ryan, Rock, Nancy, Ryan, get up here on the stage. We must have sang the same song for about 8 minutes. The place was packed. It was so much fun. We were like really goofing around. That's what I love. I love that. But yeah, I'm very passionate about what I do, and I know you are as well. And I want to hook you up, though. You must. I'll talk to Harvey. Harvey Rothman, you know, he's with Hamilton Radio, and he just started a new show, and it is about politics, and it's all talking about politics. So you got to go on his show.
Absolutely.
You got to connect with him and do an hour show.
And
I know
he'll
do it.
That. And from the very early age, politics has been in my blood. So,
yeah, can I give him your should I give him your cell number or what?
Yes,
yeah, I'll get in touch with him later. I'll call him up, and I'll tell him that I interviewed you tonight. Everybody out there, isn't it great? Don't you feel like you're listening in on somebody's conversation? Well, you are. That's what my show is all about. I always wish I would
isn't
be a fly, or not a fly, a butterfly. A butterfly monarch, which I still have to go get that milkweed for my garden. But I always wished I could be like a butterfly or something like that and go and listen to other people's conversations.
In the conversation.
You know? And anyway, but that's what this talk, live talk radio is like. You go on, you know,
I
mean,
so
that. Well, my first release of my first song, the Joey Reynolds Show, and it was that song Indecision that got him, and his talent buyer called me up 2 days after the release, and that was a way over three. That was like probably four years ago. And he said he wanted me on his show immediately and to bring my guitar. And I had been listening to him on the radio in my car and didn't even know who it was till I got to the studio. Never paid attention to who I'm listening to. I'm clueless sometimes. And when I got to the studio, I go to my friend who drove me up there. I said, oh, my God, that's Joey Reynolds. He is going to try to stump me. He's so intelligent, and he's so good and funny and everything. Well, that was my mentor into radio. Because yeah, and that's what got me interested from that very first interview. I loved it so much. And he had a comedian on as well, a guest comedian. And so the two of us were on, a comedian and me. And I like to make jokes, too. And we had such a blast. And he said, oh, you're coming back. That was the greatest, Nancy. And so, of course, he wanted to talk about Bruce, too. You know, like everybody that talks to me wants to talk about Bruce, to, you know, me.
And you know, Bruce has been everywhere these past
I know. Well, you know what? I know, and I have secrets, but I don't like to tell them because, you know,
well,
I know Bruce We used to go down the cellar and play guitar with my brother. You know, he asked, my brother was, you know, asked to be Bruce's lead guitarist. I just put pictures out on my Facebook of him and Bruce face-to-face smiling and then hugging when they played at Clarence's birthday party in 2013,
yeah,
I think, at the Wonder Bar, yeah. And so I've known Bruce since my, you know, and Clarence was a very good friend of mine, and I just adored him, and everybody did. Everybody did. I'm not excluded. Didn't have
an
exclusive.
And he's put on some fantastic shows the past
couple of
weeks.
Oh, gosh, he did.
By surprise, and
yes,
the best is
yes.
yet to come. The best is yet
to
come.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, he'll never stop. He'll never stop. He'll never stop. But I just want to, is there anything else that you'd like to promote or produce, you know, promote rather, not produce, promote?
That's my next.
You want to produce something right here? This is a big production here, these podcasts. I just adore it. And I keep having people say to me now, well, come on, I'll come over. Why don't you videotape? Let's start videotaping your shows. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready for that. I mean,
I know,
maybe. We'll see what happens. I just saw Kyle. Kyle, like, just did his first videotape, you know, on his page. So that's really cool. That's really cool.
And you know what? I've done television and radio, and I do. I like both. I do well in both. But just like you said a couple minutes ago, it feels like people are listening into our telephone conversation. So it's much more fun. It's much more live. It's just.
They're listening, all right. And then guess what? It's archived. It will be on my Facebook page in like two, like maybe the most three to 5 minutes after we're you know, off and the show. It'll be on my Facebook page. Then I'll put it on Well, I don't think. Yeah, I can put it on your page, or do you have to put it on your page?
Absolutely. And then
I wasn't sure if I could do a status on your page or not. Can I?
Yep. We can.
Yeah. I'll put it right on there.
I'll put it up on my website, which is edjohnsonap.com.
I'm going to put it everywhere.
I want people. I'd like people to look for the Stephen Crane House this fall, and I think we're going to have a fantastic. This has been a great summer in Asbury Park, and I think we're going to have an equally fantastic fall. A lineup of events and activities, and so the fun is just going to continue.
Right. Oh, I'm going to see my friend. My friend sent me an email, and I'm going to see my friend Mark. I'm going to see Mike Marino on Saturday night at the Paramount Theater. So I'm really excited about that. And I think my friend Rosemary Conti is going to come with me. So, yeah, I really like Mike. I met him years ago when he did the comedy show at the Paramount. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him. Actually, this will be the third time that I've run into him. So it's going to be great.
He is hysterical.
I know. I really love him.
Funny.
I really like him. And I like Paul Venier, too, as well. He was on my show. So he's really a great guy, great comedian. But there's something else that I know I have to say, and that is that I have been not just promoting Asbury Park and all of the venues in Asbury Park, particularly, I always say thank you to Kay Harrison, Harris, because actually she was the one that got me to be singing in Convention Hall. Actually, a friend of mine, Steve Herman, Asbury Steve Herman, is the one that said to me, Nancy, why don't you just come and sing in Asbury, inside, sing for the people, they'll love it. And so I want to thank them and Madison Marquette, but I promote, of course, the Wonder Bar and the Stone Pony and the Paramount Theater and Convention Hall and the Boardwalk. All of Asbury Park, and I also, my nonprofits who have all been on my show from like 3 years ago to present have been Helping Hands of New Jersey. I should have it in front of me, and I don't. There's so many now. Helping Hands of New Jersey, City of Angels, which is a recovery, Allison Saho, a recovery radio station, and you can call them anytime for any kind of help. Towels for Tenderness is now called Hitting the Streets for the Homeless, and that's my friend Bev Cruz, which is right up here in Long Branch. And all of these people that I'm mentioning, just go to Facebook. They all have Facebook pages. Also, Hometown Heroes, Michael Schwartz, he's been on my show. All these people have been on my show, and I support all of them with all my heart.
And Mike's a great guy.
And one of my latest people that I interviewed was the director of the Ocean County Food Bank, Mr. Rodriguez. And let's see, I just feel like I'm forgetting somebody. So I guess I will have to get my little pencil and pen out. I think I got them all, but I'm continuously looking for more and more nonprofits to be able to interview and to mm-hmm. thank with all my heart for all of the good. Oh my gosh, one of the first people is my wonderful friend, Minister Steve Brigham of Tent City. And Steve, I love you, and I pray for you, and I pray for all of these organizations all of the time. And you do so much. You're all angels in my book. So thanks for being there, and thank you for all coming on my show. And I'm looking forward to having Jack Ballow on, who did the video. He did the documentary on Tent City, which I saw, which was absolutely phenomenal, and that was years ago. And now he's done another one. In fact, I have to call Jack up and get Jack on. I've got to get him on my schedule because I'm always booked 2 months in advance. A lot of times I'll just, though, like, call you and say, let's go. You know, I can change things around because I wait
and
to confirm.
And you always have a great
I have it in my head what I want to do, but then something will come up. So I don't really confirm. Like, I'll have them on my schedule, and then I'll wait mm-hmm. because things are always like 9/11. It happened, and it was like, oh, got to call Michelle. Got to talk uh-huh. to Bob because I've been telling them for 2 years we've been talking about having them on. It's been wonderful having you on. I guess I shouldn't be greedy. I guess we went like almost 10 minutes over. I guess I shouldn't be greedy, but it's been so nice.
It's been so fun.
It is
it's
fun,
so
and
much
the time
fun.
Goes. Mm-hmm. The time goes so fast. The time goes so mm-hmm. fast. It really does. And you know what? So I'm sitting here now. Now I'm sitting, you know, like I've got my slippers on. Like, how can I have any videographer come in? You know, in the wintertime, sometimes I think, well, you know, my flannel pajamas will work for this interview.
I know.
I don't think, well, actually, you know what? If Bobby Bandiera can go on stage with his pajamas for a while there, he was going out. He was so funny. He was going out playing. People were going, I'm going, what's up with that? Bobby's playing. And I sang with Bobby, Blue Suede Shoes. Oh, he was up. Sure, come on, Nancy. But so he's out there, and he's got these black flannel pajamas on with skulls on them. And then he's got, like, wearing all these flannel pajamas. He must have thought, these are so comfortable. I'm tired of jeans. I'm wearing flannel. Flannel. So that's what he wore. He was on that. He was on the gig for about, I don't know, a few months. I think he's back to jeans now, but it was so funny. And then other people, you know, like play with bare feet. Anything goes. That's I guess anything goes. But thank you much again. I thanked you a million times. That story about Obama. That story, I'm not going to forget that. That story about Obama driving inside of Convention Hall in that armored limousine and stepping out gives me the willy chillies, the chilly willies. My hair, I swear, was standing up on my arms.
And that was just one of those memorable moments, something that you
I
never,
love those
forget.
Moments. I have a moment. I'll share it with you, and then we'll get off. That's my problem. I even have my chatter. I even have, you know, those old chatter. Their teeth, and you would put them like wind them up, and then they would chatter. They're called uh-huh. chatter teeth. Well, I had them sitting, but they were under your numbers, and I didn't see them because it's supposed to tell me. I need an old egg timer because it's supposed to tell me to stop talking after 3 minutes because I have that problem. It's a good thing that I don't drink coffee or anything. I mean, can you imagine if I drank coffee? Oh,
no.
But anyway, yeah, my story, this is one of my ahas, and then I'll let you go to use Oprah's, you know, one of her. I had an aha moment. I had an aha. Well, I had had many aha moments that will all be in my book that I'm writing right now. And it was when I was in New York City, and I was about 18 years old. And I worked on 60th Street and Madison Avenue. And on my lunch hour, I used to, like, either go over to Bloomingdale's or, you know, just over to Park Avenue. Well, this one particular day, I'm going, over towards Bloomingdale's. And I stopped in front of the Ritz because I saw all kind of people starting to congregate. And I said, oh, I've got to go see what this is all about, being the nosy posy that I am. And sure enough, who it was, and they were in a limousine, stopped. Well, I saw them walk out. It was Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, wow.
And I walked up to the limousine. She got into the limousine, and she was on the street side. And I walked right up, as pushy as I am. There really weren't that many people there anyway. I kind of just said, oh, excuse me. And I just kind of, you know, demurely walked my way through. And I was 12 inches away from the window looking at her, and she was looking at me straight into my eyes, and I was just looking straight into her eyes, and it must have seemed like 5 minutes. It was probably all of, I don't know, maybe 60 seconds. I don't know how long it was really, but I swear she was the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. There was a picture of her on Facebook, and that's why I thought of that story. And mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that woman, absolutely, because I don't think they had colored contacts in those days when I was 19.
Oh, no.
Her
no.
eyes uh-huh. were absolutely lavender. I have
yep,
never seen those color eyes in my life.
She was totally beautiful. She was talented.
Stunning.
Just a
yes.
whole presence. I mean, when
yeah.
I don't think they have movie stars like that anymore.
No, I don't think so either. Well, we're 15 minutes over now. It has been a trip and a half. I loved it. I knew it would be great. And I hope to see you in Asbury Park real soon.